Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Jesus, our firm foundation, and He is never changing. No variable turning with Jesus, and we're so thankful for that. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I'm going to be pretty honest with you. I'm going to be real honest with you. Yes, people always say, I'm going to be honest with you, like, before, what were you? Well, I've lied to you before, sorry, no. But I had studied all week Psalm 46. Matter of fact, I even went to the pastor and asked, said, would it be all right if I preach on Psalm 46? I said, I know you're going through the Psalms. Of course, he said, I don't care. He says, there'll be two different messages, I'm sure. I was like, well, I studied it all week, and I got down to Psalm 46, the end of Psalm 46, and it says, be still and know that I'm God. It says, I will be exalted above the heathen, above the earth. And I just began to study that and began to write some things down. I said, Lord, it's just not working out. By the time I got in last night, I was thinking, I give up. I don't know what to preach tomorrow. So this morning I went in and I prayed and I got here a little early. And the Lord just broke me because He showed me that Psalm 46 was for Michael Wiggins, the week of Honduras. He said, now that you understand that that was for you, here's the message I want you to preach this morning. So, I mean, it was just amazing how God worked that out. Now, I broke down in my office. I'm man enough to tell you I did. Because I was thinking, Lord, I've been studying this verse all week and just going, you know what, I need to just be still sometimes and just recognize you're God. And that be still, just God just saying not to stop what you're doing, but He's just saying recognize me. And so I did this week. We did this week, and God showed Himself. So anyway, you're getting the message that God wants for you and not for me. And, well, this is for me too, I'm sure. Luke chapter 16, very familiar passage of Scripture. And in verse 19, we'll begin. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And the title of the message this morning is The Story of Two Men. The Story of Two Men. And we see in Luke chapter 16 and chapter also 15, we see that Jesus is teaching on money. He's teaching on stewardship of money. And stewardship of money is so important. And we don't appreciate it until we go to a foreign country and we realize how blessed we are. And I was watching the kids this week play with, you know, wooden tops and things like that. And I was thinking, you know what? I remember in the day whenever I was happy with two wooden sticks. As long as I had one and my friend had the other, we were good to go. You could sword fight. You could turn them into guns. You could turn them into fishing poles. I mean, there was a lot you could do with a stick back in the day. You just didn't want your parents to have it. Somebody say amen. And usually that became a switch then. But we see that we're so blessed here in America. We're blessed. Even if you don't live in America and you're saved, you're blessed. And so in chapter 16, verse 19, the Bible says, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. We know this is a true story. This is not a parable of the Lord because He names the beggar. And somebody said, well, why didn't He name the rich man? Because on the other side of eternity, it doesn't matter what this man's name was, because he was not written, his name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Lazarus' name was, and it says, which laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. We know that also that this rich man was a Jew because of what he says here in verse 24. It says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham. That's how they would say his name. It would not just be Abraham, it would be Father Abraham. We sing Father Abraham, have many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. I'm not going to sing it or act it out because I'm too tired. Have mercy on me. Look at what he says. He said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, in other words, unmoving, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they to us that would come from thence. Verse 27 says, and then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And I love what the Lord says. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, in other words, if they don't hear the word of God, neither will they be persuaded, though one raised from the dead. We'll preach on the subject of the story of two men as we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, I need your power. I need your presence. Lord, I need your permission this morning to preach your message. And Lord, I pray that you've given that to me. Lord, I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you be with the listeners this morning. And God, if there be one here today that does not know Jesus Christ, their Savior, Lord, may this be the day of salvation for them. God, I pray that you'd help me preach with compassion and love this morning, but also with clarity. Lord, that people will be able to understand your message today. And God, I pray that you would be honored and lifted up above all else. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here we see two men with two destinations. We see that the story, a man with money cannot... In other words, this story is not about a man with money that he can't go to heaven. In other words, if you got money, this story is not saying that you can't go to heaven. It's not saying that you got to be a beggar to go to heaven. It's giving us an illustration of two different men and two different destinations. And one had trusted Jesus Christ and one had not. That is the reason we see through the whole Bible that the reason someone goes to hell is because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason a person gets to leave this earth and go into the heaven is because they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the only way and means of salvation. I'm going to show you the first thing. I'm going to look at the rich man. Look at verse 19, if you will. The rich man. We'll give a couple things about him. We see the rich man in verse 19 says, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. I was just studying a little bit about that fine linen, and basically, it was evidence of a man's wealth that when he wore this style of clothing, it was luxurious and very expensive in this day. In other words, he wanted to show everyone that he was a rich man, that he was a person of wealth. And let me say again, it wasn't because this man was rich that he went to hell. Because on the other side of this gulf that was fixed was a man called Abraham, who was a very rich man. And he was there because he had put his faith in the coming Messiah. And so we see that this rich man had on the fine linen, the finer things of this life. And then the last part of that verse, we see that he fared sumptuously. The word used for feasting is the word that is used for the place of feeding or the exotic of eating costly dishes. And it says that he did this daily, that he fared sumptuously. In other words, he was able to eat of all the things that he wanted to eat. We ate some things this week that were very good. Matter of fact, I don't think we ate anything that was bad. We fared sumptuously this week. But as I think about me faring sumptuously and sometimes eating a sandwich, which was very good, by the way, and thinking about the kids that were all around us, that they would love to eat what I was eating, even as a sandwich. So this morning we see that this rich man, now get this picture that he had everything he wanted. He ate everything he wanted. He wore what he wanted. He had everything in life but one thing and one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Lazarus in verse 20. We see the next man. We see Lazarus. And this is not the Lazarus. Commentators and people that are smarter than me don't believe that this is the same Lazarus that rose from the grave. There's two different Lazarus. As a matter of fact, we see even in the day that Jesus was probably a common name, but Lazarus was a common name. just like my name would probably be common today, or maybe not so much today, but back in the 70s, 80s, in those eras, Michael was pretty popular back in the day because parents couldn't think of anything hard. Amen? Today, they think of all the hard names, and I can't even spell them. Now, kids get in school, and they can't even spell their own name. But anyway, verse 20 says, I want you to notice here about Lazarus. It says that he was full of sores. Notice what it says again in verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at the gate full of sores. If you study this out a little bit, you'll see that probably these sores were from he had a disability. Beggars back in the Bible times this was their welfare system, is that most of the time that they would have somebody come and pick them up and take them and put them in front of the temple or put them in front of the synagogue and let them, or in front of a rich man's place and let them beg for what they got. But they would sit there all day, and we see that probably because of hygiene that they would have had these sores all over them. And I can describe them if you want me to, but let's just think of how the nastiest thing that you could think of, and that was it. Remember, they didn't have the shower and the bath and the soap and the things that we had. They would have wore the same thing over and over. We don't know about Lazarus, but we know that he was a beggar, probably was a crippled beggar, that the movement wasn't that much. And so they would get these sores from a lack of mobility and things like that. And so we see that the Bible says that he was full of sores. And I want you to notice what else it says. It says, and it came that the dogs would lick his wounds, that the dogs would come and that they would lick his... Notice the last part of verse 21. It says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I found this out that in out of Ashkelon, Israel, in Israel, they done a recent uncovering, archaeologists. What do you say? Archaeologists. There we go. I knew it would come through. That they had, in one center there, that they had uncovered 1,300 dog remains that had been buried there. And they began to do some more digging and found that this was a place that people could come and actually pay to have dogs that were trained to lick sores. And that this was their medicine back in the day. And it would bring about temporary relief and things like that. And we know that dogs even today have healing power. You leave a dog alone, their wounds will heal. They will lick them and they will heal. I don't advise you, if you have a wound, to let your dog probably lick your wound. Go to the doctor. Somebody say amen. Because I'm going to come over I'm not going to gross you out, but... Well, I will. I'll come over to your house and your dog licks me after it just licked your wound. No, I don't want that, right? That's no bueno. So we don't want that. But I want to say that, and I want to show you a picture real quick. If Brother Troy, you pull that up real quick. In Honduras, we met a young man by the name of Johnny. There he is. The story of Johnny is kind of a sad story because when he was born with... fluid on his brain. It's very that they could have went in and they could have put a drain in and drained it, but his parents did not do that. They waited too late to have the surgery, and he ended up with some brain damage. He has seizures several times a week, and Johnny is just a delight. I'm telling you, this is my. We were the triage team, by the way. We won of all the teams there. That we were number one. You say, did anybody vote on it? We did, and we won. And but we met Johnny. Johnny came over every day. Johnny would come over, and that the kids or somebody would go and pick him up out of his wheelchair, carry him across the ditch, and carry him out there where we were. He loved to come sit by us. He was in love with the ladies there, of course. And so he was a bone of joy. But I was fascinated by Johnny because. Here's the sad story about Johnny is the Honduran government and the Honduran schools there think Johnny is just a throwaway. They will not give him any medicines. They gave parasite medicines to all the kids, but they will not give it to Johnny. Because the story is, and Miss Rachel could tell you more about it, but they would basically they said that they didn't figure he'd live long enough to even, it wouldn't be worth giving him a parasite medicine. So even the Honduran government looks at Johnny as a throwaway. Because he's handicapped. He has a disability. But I tell you what, out of any kid that we met this week, the greatest smile and the greatest laughter I heard was from this little man called Johnny. I want to say that, could you imagine if Johnny was to live in the time of Lazarus, that he would just be a throwaway? Well, even in where he lives, he is that way. It was amazing. His mom came over one day, and we took Johnny into the clinic to give him some medicines. Of course, we gave him Paracet medicines that would last him over 2.5 years to try to help him. And hopefully by then, we'll go back and check on him again. But his mom came in and said this. She says, "Y'all are the first ones to treat my son as if he's a human." And I want to tell you that to be a beggar like Lazarus or like Johnny is that it's not about the physical physique. It is about that this person has a soul. Thank you, guys. But I just wanted to show you Johnny because it reminded me a lot of what we're talking about this morning. That Lazarus was a beggar that probably one day that when Johnny gets older, and this happens in Honduras, if you go down the streets there, matter of fact, there was one day we were driving down the street, and there are several days, but we saw this, but there was a man who had one leg. He was in a wheelchair pushing himself backwards in the middle of the street. If you could imagine that you were on 35 and backing yourself up with a wheelchair, and that they would beg for money. That's how they would get their money. That if you have a disability in Honduras, is that basically you're thrown away. You can't work. Is that you beg for your money. You get what you can. And one day, unfortunately, unless the Lord calls Johnny home early, that once he becomes a man, that's the way Johnny would have to earn his keep. Folks, I'll tell you, to be a beggar was not just a small thing. To be a beggar was not just something that... Now today, we have a welfare system that basically gives people a lot for doing nothing. There's people that need welfare, I realize that, but there's people who can get around and do things, go to work. Because God said that we ought to, if you don't work, you don't eat. And that was my commercial for the day. And we see here, we see that the story is telling us about these two men on the top side of the earth. But I want you to notice how the story changes once they're beneath the earth. Notice, if you will, in verse 22, we'll look back at the rich man. Verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels at Abraham's bosom." But notice what it said. "The rich man also died and was buried." Don't matter if you're rich or if you're poor, you're going to die if the Lord doesn't come back. You see, it doesn't matter if you are whoever owns Amazon. I wish I would have thought about it. Or if you're the person who started Facebook, I don't know all those guys' names, don't really care to know. But I will say this, is that it's not their riches that's going to get them into heaven. That it's not their social status that's going to get them into heaven. And here's the thing, is that one day they will die. If the Lord doesn't come back, one day they will die. And here I am on this earth, and I make great money, I'm thankful for it, we've got a great church. But I want to say that I'm not where he is. And guess what? One day, if the Lord doesn't come back, I'm going to die. But what's the difference? See, up here, it may matter if you got money or not. You can get things. You know, it's amazing. If you got money, you can get charges dropped pretty quick. Amen? But if you're like my brother running a boys' home and the government comes in and says, "You did this," my brother's fighting for his life. You know why? Because my brother ain't got no money. And this side of the soul, listen, it may matter to people around if you're rich or if you're poor, but listen, to God, it doesn't. If you got money and you use it for the Lord's work, praise God. Listen, if you're poor and you're still in the Lord's work, listen, God doesn't look at our social status in order for us to go to heaven or hell. He looks at the heart and sees if we've invited Jesus Christ to be our Savior. You see, the church at Laodicea in chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 17 says, because thou sayest, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Jesus was saying to the church at Laodicea in chapter 3 of Revelation, he said, look, you may think that you have all. You may think that you have no need of nothing, but you do. Why? Because you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Underneath that skin, underneath, that soul is lost. And that soul can be on its way to hell this morning. And God says, I don't care if you're white, black, rich, or poor. I want to save you. That's a good God. I'm glad God doesn't look at I'm glad God don't just save pretty people. Because there's a few of us that be in trouble. Right? Amen, Brother Scott? You shouldn't have sat in the front. Oh, that's it. But aren't you glad God will save whosoever will? I love that the Lord will save a whosoever will. We see the rich man in verses 22. We see verse 22, it says, and the rich man also died and was buried. I love that it leaves out a few things in this, and we're going to discuss it. But listen, the beggar, Lazarus, was carried. We see, but the rich man was buried. Listen, I want to be carried and not buried. You say, are they going to bury? Well, they're going to bury me, but I ain't going to be buried. Soul, I'll be buried with my body. My body will be buried, but my soul is going to be carried. I see that this story shows us that there were a few things about this rich man. A couple of things that we see here in these verses. I want you to notice on down in verse 23. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. We see there's two things that he asked for in hell. Number one, he asked for mercy. Notice that in what he said in verse 24. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. See, the place that when he was in the place of eternity, he begged and asked Abraham to give him mercy. But listen, once you die and once you're out of this world, there is no more mercy for you. There's just eternity. You better know on the top side where you're going when you go underneath the soil. Because once you go underneath the soil, it's over. There's no purgatory. Somebody tells you there's a purgatory, they're lying to you. Ask them to show it to you in the Bible. There's nothing in this Bible that says anything about purgatory. There's nothing about a place that you're going to go in holding until everybody can pay enough money to get you out. That sounds like a scam, and you ought to know that it's a scam. If somebody asks you for money to get you to a certain place, it's usually a scam unless it's Uber. They just started a new one in Alabama. It's called Goober. That's where I'm from, sorry. I ruined the spirit. But we see that he cried out for mercy. He cried out and said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I don't know about you, but I've had, just the other day, I ate a hot apple pie. What do we do when we eat that first bite that's hot? We, and then we take another bite and do the same thing because we're too fat to quit and let it cool down, or I am. But I don't know about you, but I've ate some hot things in my life, and one drop of water on my tongue ain't going to do it. But if you're in a bad enough position that one drop of water would be relieving, you're in a bad spot. He was praying for mercy. Notice the second thing, that he was also praying for a messenger. Notice what it says. He said, he said in verse 24, it says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, that I'm tormented in this flame. But notice what else he says. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but he's covered, thou art tormented. But verse 27 says, or 26 says, he says, and besides this, there's a great gulf fixed between us, that they cannot pass from thence. He says, send them to my brother. He said, I have five brothers. Goes on down to say that. In verse 27, then said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that's Lazarus, to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. It's amazing that all of a sudden he wanted to tell somebody else about where he was at. You see that we don't need one to come out of hell or even out of heaven to tell us that Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and life. You know why? Because we have the Word of God. And that's what Jesus is saying in this scripture. He's saying, listen, and Abraham's telling them, he's saying, listen, if they don't listen to the Word of God, if they don't listen to creation, as Romans chapter 1 tells us, if they don't listen to this, the one be raised from the dead, they still wouldn't believe. There's people all over this world today that want to see miracles. There was something that came across my phone last week, and it was a healing service. Boy, there was thousands and thousands of people. I think it was like in Ecuador or somewhere like that. Boy, I tell you what a hoax that is. There's only one that can heal. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the rich man. We see that he had prayed for mercy, prayed for a messenger. But let's look at the beggar. Let's look at Lazarus. I love Lazarus. We see that the beggar died, but Lazarus was carried. Verse 22, it shows us again that it says that he was beggar, died, and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. At that time, before the Lord Jesus had arisen on the third day, that there was a place called paradise. It was a place adjacent from hell at that time. We know that there was a great gulf that was fixed, that they could communicate apparently with each other. You say, tell me more about it. I don't know. Ask somebody smarter than me. But I know that the scripture says that there was a gulf fixed, that Abraham's bosom was over here, which was paradise, and there was hell over here. You say, what was in hell? Well, we know there was flames there. We know that there was torments there. I know one thing. I don't want to go there. If I told you today, I said, you know what? Let's all go to a restaurant. I'll make up a name of a restaurant. We'll call it Bill's Restaurant. I ate there last week, and I went home, threw up, and had diarrhea for 6 weeks. Had a parasite, and the people were sneezing on my food. Would all of y'all go, well, let's go? No. So could you imagine that this man is in hell, that he's in a place of flames and torment, he's begging for a messenger to go, that this place that he's in. But I love that on the other side, though, that on the other side of that gulf that was fixed there, that Abraham's bosom, paradise, was there, and that's where Lazarus was. You know what's great about this story? On top, Lazarus was a beggar. But down below, after death, he was a rich man. The rich man on top of the soil was rich, but on the bottom he was a beggar, begging Lazarus to go and dip the tip of his finger in water and to go and tell his brethren. You see, it doesn't matter what we are here, because when we get there, we're not going down there, we're going up here. When we get there, guess what? We're going to be rich. We're going to have all the gold that we can ever afford, because the streets are made of gold. All the walls of jasper, I'm telling you, the splendor of heaven, and we're going to have Jesus there for eternity. I'm going to have a mansion in heaven. You say, well, I'm going to have a room. Well, God bless your soul. I will wave at you as I go past and go in my mansion, because Jesus said he was going to prepare me one. And if he said he's going to go prepare me one, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I like what he says. If it were not so, I would have told you. We see the beggar, Lazarus, he was carried. He was carried. He was picked up and he was carried. Aren't you glad we have a companion in death? Listen, we don't like to talk about death, but we need to talk about death. Because it's death that determines your destination. You see, that in this life, we can fool people by saying we're saved or acting like we're saved, but you don't fool God. Your name's either written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it's not. You're either saved or you're lost. That's all there is saved and lost. There are people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. There's people who have not. But when you think about this scripture, you think about that he was carried. I want us to think about the moment that a Christian dies. We've had some deaths here lately. But the moment that a believer of Jesus Christ dies, the angels come and take hold of that soul and carry them into the presence of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah! Am I the only one saved here this morning? I'd talk about hell more if y'all want me to, but I'd rather talk about heaven. Because I'm telling you, I'm going there one day, And when y'all get there, y'all, if you're more sophisticated than me, you go, that's okay. It's all right. You ever meet those people? Yeah, that's okay. I hate when I'm excited about something and I want to show somebody something and they're not as excited about it as I am because they've been other places or they've seen better things. Don't you hate that? It's like, that was great. You know, you see a little trickle of water coming down a rock and you're like, look at that waterfall. And then you go to Honduras and we went to the largest waterfall in Central America and we go, oh, that wasn't so good then. But can you imagine what we're going to see when we get to heaven? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We see that he was carried. We see, number two, he was comforted. In verse 25, it tells us, he says, but Abraham said, son, remember thou in the lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted. How about you? But I'm glad I'm comforted in knowing that one day when I leave this earth, that I will be in the presence of my Heavenly Father. That's comfort to me. But you know what? When Jesus said he left, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. He said, another comforter will come. And the Holy Spirit comforts us today. Because why? We know that there's a blessed hope. He comforts us by knowing that we have hope and that we have the Word of God. And one day we will see Jesus. I'm going to give you the last thing. I'm done this morning. I want you to notice something in verse 26. Lazarus had it a lot better than the rich man, didn't he? Because he was carried. He was comforted. And then the scripture tells us that he was confined. Notice verse 26, it says, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. See, Jesus was the one who bridged the gap up here. And if you want to cross from death to life, from hell to heaven, you've got to cross Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I am the door, I am the gate, and you cannot enter in unless you go through Jesus Christ. On this side of heaven, on this side of eternity, Jesus Christ is the one who's bridging the gap. And when you trust Jesus Christ, He takes you from death to life. He takes you from hell to heaven. Hallelujah. I didn't deserve it. But that's why it's called grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. In other words, when you get saved, you don't live on the bridge. And when you die, you go, ooh, maybe I got good works, maybe I don't. No, there's a great gulf fixed between you and where you were before you were saved. You're confined. Listen, I don't like to be confined. We climbed in a cave on our trip. I about died several times. We were confined in a van every day of our life. I sat in the back. We were confined. I almost died. You know it's bad when I say when Pastor started driving, it was better. Our first driver almost killed us and almost killed the van. Our last driver almost killed us and the van. But Pastor was good. Hallelujah. He was driving in Honduras. I don't like to be confined. And in areas I have a little problem with that. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm all right being confined in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are in the Father's hand. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Is that Jesus Christ has us. That His love constrains us. It holds us. But also I love that Jesus Christ's blood conceals me and hides me. And that I'm confined in Him. I love what the Bible tells us, that he was comforted and that he was confined. Listen this morning, are you confined by Jesus Christ? Three times, by the way, in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, 19, and twice in 19, it tells us one day that the bride will be adorned in fine linen. You see, I'm waiting on heaven to be arrayed in fine linen. I'm waiting on heaven to have all the riches, all the things that God will bless us with. Now listen, I'm blessed here on this earth, aren't we all? If you say no, I got a trip I'll take you on and leave you and come pick you up maybe. But listen, we're so blessed. Where are you at this morning? Are you the rich man? You say, wait a minute, I ain't got all the riches. No, I'm talking about you. You don't need nothing. Psalm 23 starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's not saying I don't want the shepherd. He's just saying when the Lord's your shepherd, you're not going to be in want. Because why? He's all I need. He's all I need. All I need. Jesus is all I need. Because He bridged the gap from heaven to hell for me. From hell to heaven. And placed me over here in a confined area. You say, can I lose my salvation? Lazarus couldn't lose it. Because it says that they that would pass from here to there can't. And those that want to get over here backwards, whichever way, they can't do it. Why? Because there's a great gulf fixed. I'm glad I'm secure in my Savior's hand this morning. How about you? Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. We'll have a time of invitation. I'm going to pray. After I pray, I hope if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior. We're going to have people down front with Bibles that will show you through the Word of God how to be saved this morning. Don't be the rich man. Be Lazarus this morning. Be the one who, when you leave this earth, you'll be carried into the arms of a waiting Savior who died for you. I'm going to pray. If you need to come this morning, the altar is open. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day, God, that you've given us. Lord, would you bless this invitation this morning? Father, if there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today's the day of salvation. And God, if there's a Christian here today that's not thankful for what you've done for them, Lord, that they'll not be the one who is not praising you and giving you glory, because you are God. You are Lord this morning. You are King. God, help us to thank you for saving our soul, bridging that gap in our life. Lord, help us to be that missionary that we need to be to those around us, telling the good news. Lord, bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.